I am so thankful this day. In fact, if you read the bulletin article, I'm thankful all day, every day. But today I'm thankful because, for some strange reason, as I heard people saying, oh, I'm going to be out of town for Thanksgiving, somehow I equated Thanksgiving from being from Sunday all the way through Thursday. And lo and behold, they're here. And so I'm very thankful that they're here. I'm thankful that they're still planning on going and spending time with family for Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that others who are traveling have stopped in and are with us. And we want to talk about being thankful. I suspect that many congregations of the Lord's Church, there will be people preaching services about Thanksgiving. As we begin, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 100. A lot is said there. We've been making a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning as we opened our voices, as we sang songs of praise. But our text, Psalms 100 there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, this is a wonderful time of year in our country, and in other parts of the world as well. Regardless of what variation of the story of the first Thanksgiving that you hold to, we still look forward to the holiday. Believe it or not, there are those who have a bit of a challenge against one another, say, no, it first occurred here. No, it first occurred there. And we are all taught about the Puritans and the Indians and Squanto and all of the folks who came, and they all came together and had this big feast and everything. But there's a lot of reasons to look forward to the holiday. One, it usually means a day off work. Who doesn't look forward to that? Secondly, there are family gatherings. There are certain times during the year when families say, we're going to get together on that day, that particular period. There's usually copious amounts of food involved, and for that I'm quite thankful. And also for those who like such things, a football game or two. Hopefully, everyone will enjoy the holiday, regardless of whichever part is important to you, whichever part you participate in. But however, Christians should not only focus on being thankful one day of the year. There's much emphasis in the Bible about gratitude toward God, showing that gratitude. And so we want to look at a few passages. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, know that being a failing to show gratitude to God is a lack of spiritual maturity. When we became children of God, we had every reason to be grateful to God and thankful to God. We had heard his word. We've obeyed his word. We became children of God. We were added to the kingdom, translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, added to the church. And we had every reason to be thankful. But we should, as Christians, continue to be thankful. And not doing so is not growing. Peter there says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That brings up an obvious question. How do we grow? Pretty basic. Kind of the same way that we learn. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. You know, when we went to school, we were provided to certain books, and we were expected to learn those things that were in the book, the concepts, the ideas, the information that was there. God has given to us a book, and that book has been given, it's been meticulously planned by God, delivered down through the ages. First through word of mouth as the Spirit worked with those to whom he delivered that word, and then through the pens of men directed by the Spirit. And that passage tells us that we must use the word for the purpose that God intended. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, a Christian's life should be one of thanksgiving, thanksgiving, if you will. We think about Thanksgiving and we think about the holiday season. What about thanksgiving? Being thankful all the time. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul, directed to write to those brethren there, told them to be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious. Those things that you cannot control, there's no need in worrying about them. You can't change them by worrying about them. And that's what he's telling them. Be anxious or be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And some people have said, well, doesn't God already know what we need, what we want, what we desire? Of course he does. He knows everything. But we, as children of God, have the privilege and the ability to say, our God, who art in heaven, and communicate with him in prayer. And our prayers should be laced with thanksgiving, because it should be what's coming from us. But as you look at that passage, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everything's pretty broad. The word everything is pretty broad, isn't it? But think about it from that standpoint. If our life is truly one of thanksgiving, we'll have no problem whatsoever with thanksgiving, will we? And so we only have so much time this morning. So I want to focus on three ways in which we as children of God can work toward thanksgiving. First, show thanks by being active. We sang the song earlier, I want to be a worker for the Lord. Not everybody can do everything. Not everybody can do the same as other people can do, but everybody can do something. Secondly, show thanks by being different. Those that are outside of the body of Christ will look at us and say, y'all different, all right. No doubt about that. That's not what we're talking about. We'll explain that here in just a few minutes. And most importantly, show thanks by being loyal. Let's break these down. Let's look at each one of them. I can show thanks by being active. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 is directed to the Roman Christians and by extension to us. And it is telling us to be active, to be doing something. And it's the business that is being discussed there is the Lord's business. What is the Lord's business? The Lord's business is the saving of souls. That's what the church's business is to be, because the church is to be about the Lord's business. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. In other words, applying our mind to God's word and applying our mind to God's work. That's what it means to be fervent in spirit, not slothful in business. And notice, serving the Lord. Of course, there are a number of ways to serve the Lord. You say, well, what are some of them? How about being active in spreading the gospel? What was one of the first things that the Lord spoke to his apostles? Well, we find it in Mark 16 and verse 15. His record of the Great Commission. And it's applicable to all people, all of God's people. They were God's people. They were commissioned to carry on the work after the Lord died and was buried and was resurrected. And the Lord said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We should be more active in spreading the gospel. That doesn't mean that every person has to be a pulpit minister, that every person has to be a class teacher, that every person has to be a specific thing within the church. But if they are Christians, we are to take the word of God to other people. And in so doing, show our gratitude to God. Every creature is obviously all humanity. Why? Because humans are the only part of creation that has a soul. And that soul will spend eternity somewhere. Therefore, it's important, because some people do not know. It's important for us to make sure that they know about God, that they know what God said to do to be saved, and make sure that we understand that there are many people out there that are putting forth false doctrine. There are many people out there that are telling people, no, 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 you don't have to listen to that. All you got to do is this. The truth of the matter is, nothing less than or nothing more than what God has said in His Word will produce salvation. The gospel, it's God's soul-saving message to humanity. We also might be active in helping others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 speaks about doing good. When people read this particular passage, 9 times out of 10, they think about good works, good things that they do, raking the widow's leaves because she shouldn't be out there raking them herself, that sort of thing. But it's not simply a physical thing. And there's nothing wrong with helping people with their physical needs. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If we help someone with their physical needs and we refuse to help them with their spiritual needs, we've done them a huge injustice. What does the passage say? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Not only are we doing people a disservice when we help them physically and not spiritually, we're also not serving God. And that's important. Because in all of this, in showing our thanks by being active, we have to be serving God. And we have to be serving God in accordance to His Word. James chapter 1 and verse 27 also deals with the helping of others. And many people talk about this and point out very correctly that the Bible tells us what pure religion is. But we need to understand what these other words in the verse mean. In the passage, the word visit means to relieve them of their affliction. It doesn't mean just stop by. And of course, as we read the verse, which we will do in just a moment, we see that those who participate in pure religion have a personal obligation, personal responsibility as well. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. As they are afflicted, do that which we can to relieve them of their affliction. We cannot relieve them of the fact that they have not parents. We cannot relieve them of the fact that they have not a spouse. But we can help them in the affliction that is brought upon them by those circumstances and situations and help relieve that. But the last part of the verse is equally important. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. We've got to not fall into the trap of being so busy taking care of other people's needs, visiting them, trying to relieve their affliction, that we ourselves don't attend to what we need to attend to so that we stay in favor with God. Unspotted from the world means to keep oneself unstained and undefiled by the sins and the sinfulness that is in the world. We might also notice that it is a individual responsibility, not that of the church. Notice what it says. Pure religion and undefiled before the God and the Father is this. He's talking to individuals to visit the fatherless and the widows. The reason we know that is because at the same time they are to keep himself, that individual, unspotted from the world. We also need to be active in encouraging our brethren. You know, this is very important. It's easy for a Christian to become discouraged. We've all faced it. Hardships of life pile up. Things that people say. The way that people say things. It's important. We've got to be very careful. Now look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Christians do need to build each other up. And that's one of the many ways in which we can help each other. And as the Apostle Paul was writing to the brethren at Rome, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Therein lies a little bit of a problem. And not for those who would follow this, but for those who do not understand peace. Those who think that peace is not getting their feathers ruffled misunderstand the passage. The truth hurts. And it needs to be proclaimed. Because the truth is the only thing that leads to true peace. And also, he says, and things wherewith one may edify another. We must build each other up. We're all in this difficult situation called living. This difficult situation called life. And we're all going to suffer while we're here. As one fellow said, none of us are going to get out of this alive. We're not. But while we're here, let's help each other. And that takes being active. It takes having gratitude toward God. Secondly, I can show thanks by being different. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 shows that to be the same as those in the world, one cannot serve God properly, and one cannot be acceptable to Him. We cannot go along to get along. We cannot align ourselves with those who are not serving God and be acceptable to God. It's plain and simple. He tells them there, and be not conformed to this world. The world has a set of standards, and the world expects people to fit within those standards. But God also has standards. And He tells them, don't be conformed to this set of standards that the world has set, but be ye transformed, changed, altered by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you take in the Word of God, you examine yourself against the Word of God, and you say, I need to change. And when you change, you're going to be different. And you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I said one time here, and someone didn't understand it and asked me, but I said one of the greatest compliments that I ever received from anybody, having not seen them for several years, and then come in contact with them and go, you're different. Yes, I am. I've learned things. I know things. I've been shown things, and I've participated in things. Believe it or not, when the conversation went to the Bible, they were ready to change the subject. So how are Christians different? First, one who is a true Christian is different because they have obeyed the gospel. That puts them in a different place than those of the world. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. We see there how they remain different from the world. It's one thing to become different from the world. It's another thing altogether to remain different from the world. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Those things which you did in the past. Those things which you held to in the past. That lifestyle that you lived in the past. You have to leave that behind. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Our life should be directed toward being different than the world from the standpoint that we are striving to be holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We should seek to be more Christ-like, to be more God-like. If we do that, we're going to be different. But what does it take? It takes being different in your mindset. We have to think differently. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we see described that difference, which also shows the things of this world are temporary. Keep in mind, all of the things that tend to mold us in this physical realm will one day be done away with. God's word and those who follow His word will abide forever with God. Therefore, we are taught, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, what he points out is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But the flip side of that coin is, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God is going to be different than the world. And our mindset is going to be different. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 indicates the different focus that those who are in Christ will have. Those of the world focus on the things of the world, the things of this earth. They live for the here and now. They live for, you know, I'm living my life so that I can be happy, so that I can be fulfilled, so that I can have a retirement, so that I can have this or I can do this. What does the Bible tell us? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know something I found out? That relative to all things that are wholesome, all things that are good, if we put God and His Word first, there will be sufficient time to do this. We may not necessarily do it exactly when we want to or when the thought comes to our mind. But there will be time. There will be sufficient time to take care of everything that we need to take care of. But He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because these things are going to pass away. But God will not. And if indeed we want to be different, we need to be different in our speech. And this is not just talking about cursing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and following. It directs a Christian speech to be edifying, building up. Contrast that with the speech of the world. The apostle directed to write to those brethren and said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If indeed our speech is like that of the world, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You know what bad language is? It's nothing but a habit. I've actually had people to tell me when someone would say something and it would be off color, improper. Man, you shouldn't have used that word. Oh, I didn't realize I said that. It's just become a habit. And if we're going to be different, we're going to control habits. We're going to make sure that bad habits don't continue. James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, contrast evil speaking and proper speech, such as a Christian should use. We know that this is talking about the tongue, and it's with the tongue we form words. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. Yes, you can. With God's help. You can't do it by yourself, but with God's help we can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. This is a warning for brethren to show their gratitude to God by proper verbiage in their life. We need to say things that should be said about the Bible in Bible ways. You know what happens? People invariably will get the impression that if you use the language of Ashdod, if you use part of the Lord's language and part of the world's language, they're going to get the idea, perhaps, that you're following the things of the world, the religions of the world, the concepts. It's a work that we must do, and it takes activity to do it. We need to be different in our dress, and this is a big one. This is an important one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 addresses the proper attire that all Christians should have. Just go out in public. And for safety's sake, close one eye. It is terrible what you see. It is terrible about the way that people dress, exposing themselves and that sort of thing. The way that 1 Timothy addresses the proper attire is talking about, first and foremost, modest apparel. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. We'll talk about what that is here in just a second. But with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. If indeed we strive to stay clean and pure and proper on the inside, on the outside, what are we going to see? Cleanliness, purity, and properness. Some people say, well, you know, what is modesty? How do we define modesty? You know, it's changed down through the years. There are times when, and if you look back in time, you'll see what they used to call bathing attire, bathing dresses, believe it or not. Some of the things that were worn back, way back, before all of us. You think, how in the world did they even get in the water? I'd be bogged down with all that cloth around me and it wet and soggy and hanging and all that kind of stuff. And then say, well, you know, we're more streamlined. I just couldn't believe it down through the years just looking at the Olympics and the attire that they're allowed to wear. But look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. We'll see that modesty was required from God from the very beginning. And when you read this passage and you wonder about why it was that they realized they were naked, they hid themselves, and you think, well, why in the world? There were only two people in the world, in the whole world. And they were husband and wife. What's the problem? Why be clothed? It's a very simple reason. Because God required modesty. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Fig leaves were not enough. Maybe that'll be a good sermon one day. Fig leaves are not enough. Well, we are running out of time. I think everyone gets my point. Finally, I can show thanks by being loyal. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, near the conclusion of Paul's life, the Spirit had Paul pen the words we find here. And know that one has to be loyal to God before they could honestly utter such words. Every one of us are approaching the end of our life. We're closer than we once were, perhaps. Many of us are. Hopefully, we would be able to proclaim these words. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. People wonder what loyalty is today. Loyalty is that which is expressed by what we do. And I don't think that people are as loyal today as they should be. There are a number of areas in which we can be loyal. We can be loyal in attending services of the church. And as you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, I know that over the past few years and the situations that occurred and the mandates that were made and everything like that has created havoc in the attendance of some Christians. Some were claiming that they were told they could not assemble because there were too many people there. They couldn't spread themselves apart far enough and all of these kind of things. And therefore, they got in the habit of forsaking the assembly. I've had people say, well, I just watch it on TV. It's not assembling. That's not gathering. Is not forsaking the assembly the opposite of loyalty? He told those Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and to them so much the more as you see the day approaching. We know what their day was, but we have a day approaching as well. When do we meet? Every first day of every week. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. on what Sunday will I not be gathering with the church? No Sunday, because I will find a place to worship. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, when we gathered here this morning, we broke bread. We opened these emblems, or we distributed these emblems, and everybody participated of it. That's one of the reasons why we are together upon the first day of the week. And of course, we also know that preaching occurs and able to worship God. Paul at that time preached unto them, ready to depart on the tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That is not authorization to preach till midnight, and I'm not going to do that. So, be loyal in our services and our attendance to services. That includes Bible study too. You know, a Christian should desire to know more about the Bible. And I've had Christians say, I just don't get anything out of the Bible study. Usually, I will ask them, what did you put into the Bible study? Bible study is a time when we are together and we are able to reason together out of the Scriptures, talking one to another, looking up passages, and somebody's going to think of something that somebody else didn't think of. And we're going to say, oh, wow, thank you. But what do Christians do? I'll give the Lord an hour. We're good with that. I don't think that's loyalty. We ought to be loyal in our stewardship. While 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is speaking to the first apostles, or first of the apostles, it is also speaking of every child of God, because every child of God has been entrusted with the gospel. We are stewards of the word of God. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. The us there were the apostles in that context. And stewards of the mysteries of God. They were unveiling the mystery. They were revealing, as the Spirit revealed it to them, the mysteries that had been hidden since before the foundation of the world, so that the church would know what God would have them know. And then in verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When the apostles delivered that word to those people, they became responsible for how they handled it. We today are responsible for how we handle the word of God. We are to be loyal in every aspect of life. You know, their life requires for us to have personal relationships. Life requires for us to have business relationships. Christ, the time here on earth requires for us to be involved in a number of different relationships on different levels. But we need to be loyal. If we commit ourselves to someone, we need to fulfill that commitment. We commit to someone to a job, and the conditions of that job are you be at the office from 8 until 5. We should be at the office from 8 until 5, or in my case, a quarter till 8 until a quarter after 5. Same thing is true in every aspect of life. When we commit ourselves to a person as our spouse, a man commits himself to the woman, the woman commits herself to the husband. They are committed. They should continue to be loyal one to another. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tells them how he wanted them to be, that ye may be blameless. In other words, no one can look at you and say, you're not a loyal person, that you're not keeping the law of God, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Here's something that we need to grasp. Everybody looks at everybody else. That doesn't mean that we examine them. Not like the little girl that yesterday we were somewhere and we walked off and I told Lynn, I said, well, I hope she knows us next time she sees us. She was really giving us the once over. Don't know why. I thought maybe, I'm not even going to speculate. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we notice people. We notice how they live. We notice how they dress. We notice how they talk. We notice things about people. And we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Sometimes we go to the grocery store after services when it's necessary, and I'll tell Linda, I say, well, people are going to look at us like we're aliens. I got on a suit jacket and a tie. If it's warm, I just got on a tie. But we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But notice the next part of the verse. Among whom ye, Christians, shine as lights in the world. We are to be a beacon to these people. If we're loyal to God in every aspect of our life, we will be a beacon before these people. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, we're all striving for a prize. We're all striving for a goal. But while we're doing so, we can participate in thanksgiving. Thankfully living for God. Am I living a life of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving? We should always be thankful for the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. But most of all, we must obey Him. We start in obeying the gospel. Then we continue in faithfulness and fidelity, giving thanks in everything. If indeed you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to know how. You need to know what to do so that you can be loyal, so that you can be different, so that you can be active in service to God and live in thanks. The plan is relatively simple. It's one that God laid out, presented to man, told man to present it to others. First and foremost, one must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 proclaims. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One must repent, as Acts 2:38, when Peter responded to the question of those men on the day of Pentecost, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said unto them, repent. You can't keep going the same way. You've got to turn around, turn toward God. And of course, he told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But before they could do that, they must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They obviously believed, or they wouldn't ask the question. And Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then one must be baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16 tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then we are to remain faithful unto death. That seems to be the hardest part of it for some people. They say, okay, I've heard the gospel, I believe, I'm willing to repent. I will confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'll even be baptized. You know why that living faithful unto death is so much harder than the other that we mentioned? Because it takes so much longer. It starts at the very point when a person becomes a child of God, and it ends when they close their eyes in death. 2 Peter 2:20 shows the sad state of one who has not been faithful unto death. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And sometimes what does it take? It takes a child of God bringing it to someone's attention. In 2 Timothy 2:25-26, we see this. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then in verse 26, their responsibility when it's been brought to their attention, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How? Same plan that God's used from the very beginning. Repent and pray. The child of God can come back to God and continue to live in thanksgiving through repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I do not know you, everyone that's here. I do not know the condition of your heart, but you do. And you know whether or not you've yielded your heart to God, or if you're still holding to your own will. We've announced the song. I've asked you to mark your hymn books. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. If your will is stubborn, please let it yield to God today. Let us stand and let us sing.